Our scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I invite you to listen for the word of God as it comes to you today. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving should be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Francis McKeamy, considered the father of the American Presbyterian Church, preached in New York in 1707 without an official license to do so. Edward Hyde, the governor of New York, had him arrested and imprisoned for 2 months. Hyde wrote that McKeamy was, quote, a preacher, a merchant, an attorney, and worst of all, a disturber of governments. It should come as no surprise to you, I hope, that Presbyterians in the United States have been disturbing the government ever since McKeamy preached that sermon. King George described the Revolutionary War as the Presbyterian War, and the only clergyman to sign the Declaration of Independence was John Witherspoon, a Presbyterian. At the first General Assembly meeting in 1789, commissioners approved sending a letter to President Washington that expressed their delight at his appointment to the first office in the nation. And 219 years later, Grady Parsons, the stated clerk of our denomination, wrote President-elect Obama and wrote these words. Offering encouragement is something that Presbyterians have done to each of the 43 presidents who preceded you. Please know always that your faith and spirit are being supported with the individual and congregational prayers of the church all across the nation. Your job as president is lonely, but you are never alone. Paul's instructions to Timothy to pray for his elected leaders, which is what we heard him say today in our reading from the book of Timothy, is something we take very, very seriously. But we do more than pray. We get involved, we Presbyterians. We still disturb the government. But somewhere along the way, we have forgotten this. And so today, a sermon born out of frustration. I am frustrated. I am frustrated with the religious rhetoric I see on TV, with the hatefulness and vitriol I see coming from the right. And I am frustrated with the left, that they are so blissfully ignorant of religion and think that's okay. And I am frustrated with those of us in the middle, who would probably be most of us here, that we have allowed the right and the left to dominate the conversation about God. This really frustrates me because I am convinced that the less we say, the more we are allowing others to talk for us. And I don't want others to speak for us. I don't want Terry Jones or Fred Phelps to have the only word. But I also don't want people like Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris, who argue that the world would be a much better place if religion ceased to exist, to be the opposing viewpoint, because they are just as fundamental in their beliefs as Phelps and Jones, and just as ignorant about religion and God. And so I am frustrated, because somewhere along the way, we just stopped talking. I have some theories as to why we stopped talking, which I will save for another day, but we stopped talking about how our faith informs our morals, our politics, and our views on various social issues. I mean, how often do any of us say, or do we hear someone say, you know what, as a Christian, I am appalled at the level of Islamophobia I see today. Or as a Christian, I think we need to be more inclusive of people from different countries or different races or sexual orientation or socioeconomic levels, not less so. Not too often do we hear things like that said. Today, such statements are an oxymoron to most people because we hear the exact opposite. We mostly hear from people who believe God is exclusive, not inclusive. It has been so long since we talked about how our faith informs our viewpoints and should shape the laws and policies of our cities or nation that we don't even think it's appropriate to have a voice anymore. But did you know that John Calvin, the forefather of Presbyterianism, believed wholeheartedly that because Christ ushered in God's kingdom here on earth, meaning Christ came and that was the beginning of building God's kingdom, that we are called to live in the political and economic world, which means that we sometimes support that world, we sometimes challenge it, sometimes we critique it, and sometimes we resist it. All in the name of Jesus Christ. And yet more and more people think religion, and particularly the church, should keep its nose out of it and just stick to spiritual things. More and more Christians think their religion is something private that is between them and God. The social gospel of the 1960s, in which the church, particularly the black church, was the leader of the civil rights movement, has been replaced by an it's all about me spirituality, in which the only thing that seems to matter anymore is me and my salvation. These days, the only thing that Jesus seems to be about is saving people. And the only thing that matters is who's getting to heaven, when the truth is Jesus was much more concerned about building God's kingdom right here than he was about the one that awaits us. When Jesus was asked to state the greatest commandment, he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In this complex age, one way we love our neighbor is to help shape the laws and policies that define how we live together in God's world. That statement, by the way, is taken from the Presbyterian Church's Office of Public Witness, which is located in Washington, D.C. Its task is to advocate and help the church to advocate the social witness perspectives and policies of the General Assembly. And yes, the General Assembly does make statements about public matters. We made statements this summer about the issue of peace between Israel and Palestine. We made a statement, or should I say, we wrote a response to Arizona's immigration law. And we made a statement about conserving Louisiana's wetlands in the wake of the Gulf oil spill. But the General Assembly isn't the only group that makes public statements. We approved at our last presbytery meeting a statement in support of the proposed Islamic Community Center in New York City, and we directed our stated clerk to inform the churches and appropriate media of this action. Sessions, of course, can take actions too. This session has endorsed various healthcare initiatives. And so the question for Presbyterians is not if we will get involved, but how we will get involved. To quote from a well-written Presbyterian document titled The Theological Basis for Christian Social Action, in the complexities of political, social, and economic matters, there is seldom any single, unambiguously Christian solution. The church and individual Christians will choose from the available solutions that one which seems most clearly to point in the direction of the will of God. To say nothing and do nothing because no single solution is perfect is not to take a Christian position, but silently to support whatever status quo happens to prevail. Or to leave change entirely to others, and thus refuse altogether to try to bring the will of God to bear on the life of the world. That paper was written 44 years ago. Lord knows a lot has changed in 44 years. For starters, the church does not hold nearly as privileged a place in society as it did then. And secondly, there is deep, deep division in this country. But has anyone ever thought that the two go hand in hand? That maybe, just maybe, if reasonable people, reasonable Christian people spoke up, there would be less division? Paul gave Timothy some really good advice in today's reading. He told him to pray for his leaders so the Christians could lead a calm and peaceful life in godliness and dignity. And the reason he told them that is because he knew darn well that their behavior influenced other people's view of God. And there was nothing quite like calm, peaceful, and godly dignity on the part of the Christians to show onlookers who might not know anything about God what God might look like. Paul knew that our conduct, good, bad, or indifferent, influences other people's views of God. Peaceful, calm, loving, and reasonable behavior sends a message that God might just be like that. And on the flip side, if one is going to be arrogant, hateful, and exclusive, well, people might think that God is like that. And so those of us who choose the path of calm, loving, peaceful, and reasonable work have some things to do. In a world that is increasingly divisive in so many ways, we have a very important voice to share. And so I would encourage all of us to speak up and to be heard, because if we don't, someone else will. And I don't think that's working out so well, do you? In an article in last week's Huffington Post, Karen Armstrong, a well-known author, wrote this: "If we want to preserve our humanity, we must make the compassionate voice of religion and morality a vibrant and dynamic force in our polarized world. We can no longer afford the barbarism of hatred, contempt, and disgust. Respect and compassion are now crucial for our very survival. We have to learn to make a place for the other in our minds and hearts. Any ideology that inspires hatred, exclusion, and division is failing the test of our time. Hatred breeds more hatred, violence more violence. It is time to break this vicious cycle." Paul said just about the exact same thing in his letter to Timothy over 2,000 years ago. "Pray for everyone," Paul said, "and give thanks for everyone, because Christ gave himself for everyone." In a world of mean-spirited, us-them, simplistic right-wrong thinking, the world needs this reminder. The world needs this word, this wonderful, loving, inclusive word of God. Thanks be to God for this word. Amen.